Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020, Becoming a Better Me. This is the six-month journey of three novices, Gerard, Christine and Renzo, taking on what is arguably one of the toughest endurance races of all time.
Full Ironman takes place in Port Elizabeth on the 29th of March 2020. The distances covered are a 3.8-kilometer swim in the sea, a 180-kilometer bike ride and a 42-kilometer run.
And you can follow our journey on this podcast series, and of course you can follow us individually on our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020. It's usually Gerard, Christine and Renzo coming to you to talk about our preparations for Ironman. And in this episode, I'm out alone and I've left my good friends in Cape Town to enjoy their preparations for Christmas. And I was on a training ride this morning and a run with my coach Mark. So I decided to rope him in to having a chat about training and what it takes to get to an Ironman, the kind of training, and then of course how to leverage that training in the race itself so that you can have a successful race. Because you can train as hard as you like, but if you don't apply that training in the race, then you're pretty screwed, eh?
Yeah, that makes lots of sense.
So I mean, one of the things we were talking about, Mark, earlier was I went into the Durban half having trained my own way and done my own thing, and I thought I trained hard. and I had a rough race. And then I decided to do Ironman, and then I found you, and then I found out about real training. So what's the how do you put the training together? What's your approach?
I think what a lot of people don't realize is how much training, not necessarily the distances, but the consistency of the training. So how many sessions you need to get in a week. So trying to fit in at least three bikes and at least three or four runs and two swims, two, three, four swims, depending on your swimming ability, is quite tough. I think a lot of people end up doing one bike and one run during the week and then a long one on the weekend. They think, well, I'm getting really fit. But you're not really building fitness. You're just maintaining fitness by doing that.
Yeah.
So you could get away with that for a half. You're going to finish it, but you're not really going to perform.
And that was exactly my experience. And so I was pulling together one or two runs here, one or two bike rides, and I didn't swim.
Yeah.
Much. At all. I just kind of said, I know how to swim, I'll be fine. But yeah, it's... So then, something interesting as well. So just to finish that thought, what I'm finding is that word that you used, consistency, becomes so important.
Yeah.
So it's not only the consistency of doing the work, but it's also consistently showing up.
Yeah. I think we use Training Peaks, the online platform, and I think that's one thing that helps you with that consistency. Is when you don't have something that shows you what you're doing every week, you might think you've had a big week, but you haven't really.
Yes.
You've missed one little session here and one little session there, and they all add up. Whereas when you've got Training Peaks and you've got to make those sessions green, that shows your true consistency.
Yeah.
And you can tell me you trained hard that week, and I can go look at it and go, did you really? You kind of had a couple weeks, you cut a couple sessions off, that's why. Maybe you felt fresh on your run on Saturday or something like that. So I think having something to look at that shows you what you've done every week and shows you your progression is good as well, not just to make up things as you go along.
Yeah. One of the things that, and I mean, speaking about that, it becomes quite interesting, the approach to the training. So I remember one of our first, our first conversation that we had where... You took a concept that I had around training. So from cycling, it was always a case of going to a season. So having spent the off season doing base training and really getting your base in and getting your distance in your legs, and then closer to the racing season, building speed. Mm-hmm. And you flipped that on its head for me. You said, no, actually, in triathlon and in Ironman distance, so ultra triathlon, we actually look at building speed first and then building the distance in.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that at first, but I mean, obviously now having done the cycle with you, I'm seeing the benefits of that.
Yeah. I think it you can do it both ways. There's two chains of thought. There's not one way fits all.
Okay.
And I think a lot of the pros do a lot more longer stuff in the off season and then do work on the speed work close to the races, but they're living a different life to us. So yeah. They don't have the same kind of pressures, life pressures that we have, and they can rest as much as they want and they can do those things. So that's just the approach I've taken. I've found works best because you're going to need to get those big ones in later, and it's hard to go and do 180k cycles in the middle of winter.
Yes.
It's hard to get up and do any cycles in the middle of winter. So I find it's more beneficial to do those high intensity indoor sessions and do the shorter, harder run stuff in the winter. And then as it gets warmer, you can do the longer stuff, getting closer to the race. It's almost a reverse periodization.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm finding now that, so what I found most interesting, where it's really showing up for me, is in my running, in developing speed soon, or rather early in my training program with you. I found a lot more pace in my running, of course, but now I'm getting so much, you know, the distance is coming in, and we're doing longer runs, and what we did a brick run today that was short, but we got a 21 tomorrow.
Yeah.
We got a 25 on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's you've got to be careful with the running, and that's where the most injuries come in. So trying to work on speed, you need to get the base, a small base, before you can start doing the speed as well. So, but once you start getting that speed in, it really does make a difference. It really makes running at a steady pace comfortable. So if you're able to run fast over a 10K, it makes running medium pace over 15K quite easy. So your body just becomes more efficient at running slow when you run fast. It just makes those longer runs easy. You're able to keep your heart rate down over a longer distance.
What do you think is the biggest mistake that we make as novices coming into the sport?
Definitely trying to go too hard all the time. I think that's the biggest mistake that people make, is every session's a race, every run is hard, every cycle's sprints. And the biggest thing for triathlons, especially for the Ironman distance triathlons, is to slow yourself down and make sure that your quality sessions are quality, but that your easy sessions are easy, and that you're able to recover in time for those next quality sessions. Too many people are doing their 10K runs at 5 minutes a K, their 20K runs at 5 minutes a K, their 4K runs off the bike at 5 minutes a K, and your body's never going to get better by running at the same speed all the time.
Yeah.
So you should be, if you're doing a brick set and the goal is to run hard off the bike, run hard off the bike. If the goal is to do a long run, run slow for your long runs. That's the best way to get your training done. And too many people are sitting in that zone three.
Yes.
You call it the whole time. And it's a great brand, but it's not a great training zone. So
little brand punt there.
So yeah, it's not the ideal way to train. And that's when the injuries can come in, and you end up being stagnant and you don't improve in your training because you're just doing everything at the same pace all the time.
Yeah, that's, I picked that up from you early on as well, when in our swim training, where you do the descend sets in our warm-ups.
Yeah.
So the descend, for those of you who don't know, is literally you swim 100 meters at whatever speed, and then your next 100 meters has got to be faster, and then the following 100 meters has got to be even faster. So you're constantly pushing that pace so that you don't kind of fall into that comfort zone.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to learn how fast you're swimming. For the open water long distance races, because a lot of people go out and you're hammering that first buoy, and then you don't know how fast you're going. Your goal is to swim at 140 per 100 or whatever.
Yeah.
And the first K you swim at 120 per 100, and then you're burnt out, and then you end up swimming at 2 minutes for the last three Ks.
Yeah.
And that's where the descent comes in, is when you're doing the first 100, to make sure I'm going to swim at 125, and then the next 100 at 122, and the next 100 at 119. Just learning your pace as well.
Yeah.
Is very important with the swimming.
On the bike, we'll get to racing in a moment, but So we've spoken about running, we've spoken about swimming. Just a quick one on the bike. I'll never forget that session where we were riding out. We did a long ride, and I couldn't understand why you guys were riding so slowly, and especially up the hills. And every time we went up, well, what I thought we were riding slowly, and every time we were going up the hills, I kept going past you until eventually you shat me out and you said, "Renzo, stop surging and stop racing up the hills. You've got to keep your pace constant." And so tell me a little bit about that, because we spoke about it, yeah. but talk about it.
So we do our interval sessions obviously during the week, and we do our hill sessions where that's high intensity, and you obviously varying your speed and your power on those sessions. But for the long rides, the goal is to keep a nice, steady, consistent pace, whether you're going uphill or downhill. Not pace, power. So effort.
Yes.
If you don't have a power meter, you just go on effort, and you want to keep it as consistent as possible. So if you're going up a hill at 200 watts, obviously you can't go down a hill at 200 watts, but you want to still pedal and work down the hill. Your body works best at an even pace. If someone says to you that I run best doing a negative split, then they've don't know how to run properly, because they lie. If you watched Kipchoge sub 2 hour,
yes,
248, 250, 250, 250. Yeah. He didn't say I'm going to run at 230 for the first 21 because I'm going to die a little bit.
Yes,
because that's not how the body performs best. Your body performs best by being even throughout. So when you're doing those long rides, whether it's in a race or in training, you want to keep that power as even as possible. When you start working hard up the hills, you go into your lactate threshold zone.
Yes.
And then you start producing lactate and your body starts to fatigue. So you want to avoid that. You want to avoid that heart rate going up and spiking. You want to avoid going into oxygen debt. You want to keep that power as even as possible and the effort as even as possible, so that you don't go into that oxygen debt and into that lactate threshold zone.
So, I mean, you know, so if I take that right back, if the concept of the bike, the swim, bike and run, it's all about being very clear in the session what the requirement is. Yeah. So if there's a requirement to get out of your comfort zone and push yourself, then you do. If there's a requirement to find consistent, even effort, whether you're running, whether you're swimming, running, or riding, then you do that too, because that builds the distance and the endurance.
Yeah, exactly. This morning's session is a good example where I said to you, what we need to work on is you're riding up the hills really well, and then once we get to the top of the hill, we go down the other side, we hit some flats and we go, and I look around and you're gone.
Yeah.
And I said to you, let's work on getting over the hill, getting back up to speed and trying to keep the effort there.
Yes.
Not getting to the top of the hill and resting.
Yeah.
So having that clear defined goal, whether it's intervals where you go hard on the hard parts and you rest on the easy parts, whether it's hills where we're working on cadence and building strength in your legs, or the long steady rides.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to make sure you're keeping in that zone one, zone two area consistent, not freewheeling the whole time, but just keeping a nice consistent effort the whole time.
Yeah,
I think it's very important to make sure you have a clear idea of what you're doing.
So then let's take that to the final step. How do I translate all of that into the race?
So when we get close to the race time, it's always easier to know, to have a race plan for the cycle, especially if you've got a power meter. We can work off heart rate. The problem with a long race like Ironman, I always say swim comfortably. Swim where you're comfortable. The swim is, I'm not saying it's the easiest part, but it's the least important part, as in you're not going to win a race swimming fast. You're not going to win an Ironman swimming fast, but you can definitely lose an Ironman by swimming too hard.
Okay.
As in, if you go and swim too fast, you're going to be broken when you get out the water. So swim in
Ask Lionel.
Swim in a comfortable pace, you'll get out, and then your race starts.
Yes.
A lot of people have said it's a swim warm-up, a long bike ride, and then a cool-down on the run.
Wow.
So, again, swim comfortably. The bike, you will ride at a percentage of your threshold. So whether that's heart rate or power. Power is always more consistent, because you will get something called cardiac drift if you're using your heart rate. So cardiac drift is when you do a prolonged exercise, if you keep the exact same power for a long time, your heart rate is still going to increase.
Okay.
Because your body's starting to fatigue over a longer time.
Yes.
The fitter you are, obviously, the less that cardiac drift will occur. But if you are riding on heart rate, you've got to take into consideration that cardiac drift, or else your power is going to drop.
Yes.
If you're trying to keep a consistent heart rate. So that's why ideally you want to work at a percentage of your power threshold. So normally people say for a good pro rider would ride at about 75%. For someone who's an age group like us, we kind of at about 70% of your threshold.
Wow.
And that's supposed to give you your best chance to run off the bike.
Okay.
To run a solid marathon. Your marathon also, you generally run at about where you run on your long runs. So if you've been doing a lot of 25s, 30k runs, the pace you run in those runs is generally the pace you're going to be running off the bike.
Mm. Okay.
So you don't want to get off the bike and try and
smash it. And I found that is a lesson I've had to learn, because I found that in our break sessions, when I get off the bike, as heavy as my legs feel, when I start the run, I'm pushing a very fast pace.
Yeah.
I'm pushing a sub 5 minute pace, and that's not, you know, that's
not realistic for race day.
It's not realistic for me for a marathon. So yeah, it's something I've had to teach myself, to slow myself down in the transition out of the bike into the run, and then settle down into my pace.
Yeah. So often your cadence is picked up off the bike because you have such a high cadence in the bike. When you get off the bike, your legs tend to go at that cadence. They're warm, they're ready to go. So slowing down, getting into your pace that you know you're going to run, and again, you want to run at an even pace. So never say, I'm going to do my first 20Ks at 5:30 because I'm going to be tired later, so I'll do my next 20Ks at 6:30.
Yeah.
If your goal is 5:45K, run at 5:45. There's no trying to save time, bank time for later. It's not a good idea.
No, you'll just burn yourself out.
It's big time.
Okay, cool. Any final wisdoms or tips?
I think the fourth discipline of an Ironman is nutrition.
Yes.
For training, make sure you are practicing what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. You'll soon find out what works for you. You might go on a 4-hour bike ride and you blow completely and you're like, well, I had 3 bottles of juice and 1 gel. Either you had too little or you're having the wrong stuff that doesn't work for you. So now is the time. You're going to be doing lots. You should be doing lots of long bike rides, lots of brick sets, lots of long runs. This is the time to practice what works for you.
Absolutely. And that other discipline, transition?
So transition is important for us. We're not trying to win an Ironman. We're there to enjoy it. I always say settle down. Calm yourself down when you get in transition, especially out of the swim. Some people get into a panic.
Yes.
Get that heart rate down. Slow yourself down. Make sure you don't forget anything. The last thing you want to do is get on your bike and you get 20Ks and you go to grab that gel and it's still in your transition bag.
Yeah.
So slow it down. Heart rate down. Get comfortable. Put everything on that you're supposed to. Put the sunscreen on.
Yes.
And then get out there and enjoy it.
Okay.
Same thing when you get onto the run. You don't have to rush the transition. That one's a bit easier. You don't normally carry much on the run with you. So, just take your time through transition. Again, you're not going to win a race in Ironman in transition, but you can lose it if you try to get off that bike too quick and crash or something like that. Leave.
You forget your nutrition behind.
Don't put your socks on properly and you get blisters.
Yeah.
All those kinds of things can happen if you try and rush the transition. I'm not saying take 10 minutes, but
no.
Make sure you do it properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Mark, thanks a lot.
Cool. Thanks for chatting.
And we look forward to getting to the finish line and seeing how that turns out.
For sure.
Thanks a lot.